from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. When you get right down to it, data is Yuma Proving Ground's chief product. Tremendous changes in technology are granting new opportunities to package this data far more quickly and efficiently for Yuma Proving Ground's test customers. Chief of Data and Analytics Officer Richard Hernandez is honchoing this effort. The quantity and variety of data that Yuma Proving Ground generates is so immense. How in the world are you tackling this challenge of compiling it and making it more efficient?
Absolutely. I would say the answer to that is with great support from our community. Obviously, some guidance from ATEC and certainly at the Army level. They are setting the data management strategy for us. We follow their guidance, but it's really about getting the support of the community, getting them involved, getting to understand their process, and really trying to understand what that product is that we provide our customer, and working with them to do that in the most efficient manner possible. But it is very much a community-driven type of support.
Now, obviously, we must generate terabytes worth of data every year, and test data is our bread and butter, but you're also concerned with data about things that support the test mission, too. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes, sir. So what you're referring to is essentially our structured data, our business data. It is what empowers our leaders to make the right decisions, and it comes in many different forms. The most common that folks tend to think of is really the RM, the financial type data. We also deal with a lot of the logistics, and the biggest thing for us is really scheduling, right? We want to make sure that we maximize the range, give that information to leadership so they're making the decisions as far as what equipment we need to support these types of mission, to make sure that we're staffing correctly, have the right amount of equipment at all times, and really putting that information together so that leaders can ultimately make those decisions in ideally in a real-time fashion, right? So they want to be aware of that, tracking it, and to be able to pivot when anything changes, right?
And another thing you collect data on is range support equipment, maintenance data, how often it's down for maintenance, and things like that.
Yeah, and I would say the support groups have done a great job over the years of tracking this information. Most of them have their own systems working out here for a number of years. I've got an opportunity to meet many of these folks, and they use their own databases, spreadsheets, even whiteboards, but they are all tracking this information one way or another. Recently, we did roll out a new application called the Instrumentation Asset Management Tool. It's our utilization tracker. It ultimately allows us to understand what pieces of equipment are supporting what parts of the range. Ultimately, we'll be able to identify when, I'll use the example as a radar, which individual radar supported which individual program, and then compile that information at the end of the year to say, hey, which pieces of equipment are being underutilized, which pieces of equipment tend to have a lot of maintenance issues on. And then, again, it's about presenting that information to the leaders, letting them make that decision as far as what equipment, what sustainment efforts, and that way we can essentially make that change for the upcoming fiscal year.
Do you expect that artificial intelligence is going to help you be more efficient with doing all this?
I do. I think over time we will find areas where we can take advantage of AI and machine learning capabilities. My strategy is for us to understand our process first and foremost. I think with the help of the program analysts that are out there, many of them do a great job of understanding our data, and that's really the first step, is understanding what your data is doing. And when you get to a point where an analyst can do some kind of predictive analysis with that data, generally that's the right time to introduce some kind of AI or machine learning capability. And that does apply to both the business and our structured test, our unstructured test mission sensor data.
And AI would be most applicable to something that's very, very repetitive, and it would make for more efficiency for the humans using it.
You're spot on. It's really an automation tool. And those generally work best when you have a repeatable process, a well-documented process, and essentially you're asking some kind of compute to iterate through the same behavior that a human would otherwise. And when you have a lot of data and a good defined process, usually that's a good candidate for an AI or ML capability.
Richard Hernandez, it's really good talking to you today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Anna Henderson, your host for this segment of Outpost Outspoken. Today, I'm joined by Yuma Proving Ground firefighter Heather Banda. She not only serves the community as an emergency responder, she's involved in the community as well. Welcome, Heather.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Tell me how long you've been in the field and how long you've been at YPG.
I've been in the field for 4 years and 3 years for YPG.
Heather, tell me what you've enjoyed about working on the installation.
For one, it'll be the training, the amount of training I've received here. They'll send me off to different states. Alabama, I went to Wisconsin. The bunch of online training, physical training.
Can you tell me what inspired you to become a firefighter?
It all started when I was 12. I witnessed an accident, and I remember running to this car accident. And me being 12, didn't know what to do, right? But I saw a fire truck and the EMS coming and just worked that call. And I was like, wow, man, this is amazing. But then, fast forward, I grew up, I didn't know anything about fire and EMS. And then 25 years later, I told myself, you got to try. It's either now or never. And, I signed up for the EMT program and the fire academy. I just fell in love with it. And I was like, what have you been doing for the past 20 years? And then I just kept on going, and I took classes and classes, and I got training, and here I am now.
And here you are. Did you ever feel discouraged because there's so few women in the field, or did it inspire you?
I did look around, and there was only one or two females, but I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a firefighter, so I just kept with it. I don't care. I didn't care who was in the class.
Now you are working to inspire teens to become firefighters. Tell me about working with Camp Inferno. It's a program that's hosted by the City of Yuma Fire Department that focuses on teenage girls and exposing them to the world of firefighting. How was it working during this camp?
It was so fun. The first day, they're high schoolers, so they're all timid and they didn't know anybody. But at the end of the third day, everyone was just high-fiving each other, and we all had a blast. We had s'mores, we had dinners and burgers, and just we had a good time.
And it's an intense camp, correct? There's hands-on, there's fire. Tell me about that.
Oh yeah, they had ladder climb, they had a bucket brigade challenge. They descended from a 3-story building. We also had some classes, which were stop the bleeding, CPR training. We also talked about mental health, personal hygiene, what resources are out there if they want to be involved. They got to extinguish some fires with hose, different techniques on how to extinguish the water. They got to rode on a fire truck, which they were all excited. They're all dirty and filthy. We played flag football.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Why did you want to be involved in this camp?
So I never got an opportunity to do this when I was a kid. And to see all, 27 girls just sign up willingly, it was amazing. And I absolutely wanted to be a part of it. For one, to show them what we do as firefighters and female firefighters. I showed them techniques that I had to modify just to make this job a little easier, because I'm not this, 6 foot, 250 man who can pick up tools easily. I have to take extra steps or figure out how to do it my own. And I'm happy to show them my techniques.
And I'm sure it's great for them as young teenagers to see women there.
Yes, it was. I think it was intimidating for them. And then it got better once they saw women.
And now you recently organized a team to participate in a recent fundraiser for burn survivors. Tell me about that.
This is the Yuma Child Burn Survivors Foundation. It raises money for the local Yuma Child Burn Survivors.
I had read online that it helps with transportation costs, lodging costs. Tell me about that.
So they raise money for the local child burn survivors. That includes, transportation to Phoenix, includes food, lodging.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your career as a firefighter? What would you tell a young girl that is thinking about becoming a firefighter, but maybe intimidated by it?
Just go for it. Just do what makes you happy. Don't let nothing stop you. It can be challenging. It takes heart and grit for this job. Just don't stop trying.
Those are great words to live by. Well, Heather, thank you for your time and what you do for the YPG community and the Yuma community.
Thank you.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.